Father, this morning we thank you, God, that we can come into your house and even, God, with just a guitar and just the vocals, God, that we can stand up and we can worship you. Father, we don't have to have a bunch of extra things. We don't have to have the loudest sound, God. We don't have to have all the different instruments, God, but we can come in simplicity and just offer up our worship to you, and God, you join us. And God, we thank you for doing that this morning. God, we do declare that you are the great I am. You are God Almighty. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. And we just thank you for reigning in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for joining us here this morning. God, we love you. Pray that you'd be honored through the rest of our service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The dad's name is Kevin. Kevin is struggling, isn't he? It's not fair to Kevin today, because Kevin's going to get some things worked out, we'll see, through the course of the series. However, you've witnessed today the whole series in teaching in Philip. And it's not fair to the video today. However, we know that Philip and Sarah have been in the hospital with little Sawyer for 3 days this week. And so when they were up there, I told Philip, I said, you know, maybe get Kyle or someone else to lead Sunday. We would all understand it's all good. I mean, after all, little boy's been in the hospital all week. And he looked at me, he shook his head, he said, well, no, it'd be okay. And he said, probably just be me. And we've seen the lesson today completely. You just take what you have, whether sorrow or joy, and you put it in the Lord's hands. And you worship. Kevin has been blessed. Kevin's done well, hasn't he? Kevin's got a beautiful house, beautiful family. Kevin knows the Lord, but Kevin's not happy. Matter of fact, from my watching the video today, the only one not happy is Kevin. Ray, their helper, is happy. He's got joy. He just doesn't want to give the Lord any stinky sheep. The daughter seems pretty content with the crowd coming over. The wife seems really excited about the returning missionary family from the Philippines coming over. She's excited about hosting them. She's excited about sharing her space with them. She's being generous. She's excited about doing the work and hosting him, all those things. Kevin's the only one not happy. Kevin's holding on really tight. How much is he going to need? He's thinking about how big a barn he needs. How big a barn do I got to have for that retirement? How big a barn do I got to have? You know, he looks at his financial advisor, and the financial advisor starts talking about this and that and the other, and about the retirement portfolio and all those kind of things. And what does Kevin say? Double it. Let's build a bigger barn. Let's hold on to it. Let's make more. I need more. I got to have more. But he's oblivious to the fact that obviously him trying to get more, he's missing out on the simple joys of life. You might be like me. You identify with Kevin. You hold on tight. Kevin's holding on tight. In my opinion, this morning, Philip didn't hold on tight. He said in his prayer, you know, or before he prayed, I don't remember exactly when, but basically all we had today was a guitar. And I wanted to shout out, and I didn't, but I wanted to shout out, "Not true. Throw the guitar away. We've got a worshiping heart. That's what we've got." And so the lesson that we need to learn today is Philip. Thank you, Philip. Take all you have. Put it in the Lord's hands. And just be faithful. And watch and see what He does with it. I can't speak for any of you here today. All I can do is speak for myself. But I worship today because I saw Philip take his heart and just present it to our Lord. And I joined in with him. And so as we learn to take every sorrow, as we learn to take every pain, as we learn to take every circumstance that's not working out right, as we learn to take every gift that we have, every blessing that we are given, as we take everything the Lord has laid in our path and we offer it to Him, He makes something beautiful with it. If we hold on to our circumstances, Lee Brewer, if we hold on to our pains, if we hold on to what bothers us, if we hold on to our struggles, if we're dishonest with it, if we suppress it, something beautiful is not made because we're not putting it in the Lord's hands. Philippians chapter 4. First, 2 Corinthians General Electric Power Company. That's how you find it. Philippians chapter 4. You'll see verse 13 written on people's eye black. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's not talking about running with a football. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's not talking about shooting a basketball. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's not talking about running faster than anybody else. In verse 10, Paul says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul says, "I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content." So it's a learned thing. Kevin hasn't learned it yet. Kevin's holding on tight. He hasn't learned to offer all that God has blessed him with to the Lord. He hasn't learned that gift. He says in verse 12, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound." So he says he knows how to be hungry, he knows how to be well fed, he knows how to be poor, he knows how to be blessed. "I know how to be brought low. I know how to have bad circumstances. I know how to have great opposition. I know what that's like. And I know how to abound. I know how to overcome. I know how to have victory. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." I've learned the secret. I've learned. He says, it wasn't there all the time. I have learned. I have grown into this. I have grown into the place of being able to take what I have and give it to the Lord in worship. I have learned to take what I have and present it to the Lord in service. I have learned. I have grown. It wasn't automatic for me. I just didn't wake up one day and have all this down. I just didn't take that 3-year sabbatical out there in the wilderness after the salvation experience and come back and have all this experience down and where I could speak about it and talk about it. No, no, no. I've learned. It's been painful for me to learn this. It's been difficult, but I've learned. And I've learned the secret to have nothing and be able to rejoice, and to have abundance and be able to rejoice. I've learned the secret that no matter what I'm facing, I can move forward in Christ. I can have joy. I can have this unspeakable joy that he's been talking about here in this book. I can have fun, I can relax, I can shout glory, I can just enjoy my life. Because it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty. Now, so we're going to stop right there, and I want you to turn back, and let's find out what that secret is. And I already know, so it's not really a trick question. Galatians chapter 2:20 is the secret to what he's talking about. Verse 20, Galatians 2:20, 2:20 power. 2:20 power, big thing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the secret. Turn back to Philippians, the eye black verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through him. Why is he able to do all things through Christ? Because Paul no longer lives. Paul has been crucified. Paul has died to himself. And it's no longer Paul who lives, but Christ lives through him. So if Kevin was here today, and if I were to sit down with Kevin, and I were to say, Kevin, look around, buddy. Look what you've got. You need to be generous. I mean, I can't believe, Kevin, I can't believe, buddy, that your little son gives that little boy not only his favorite toy, but by your own mission, probably the most expensive toy he's got. You said yourself, you'd probably get a fortune for that little biplane at an auction, but you can't get him to put it down. And so not only was it the most expensive toy the boy has, it's his favorite toy. You can't get him to put it down. He runs around everywhere he goes. But he didn't want to give God any stinky sheep. He wants to give his best. Evan had joy. Now, if I would have said, look at your son, Kevin, he's got it figured out. Look at your wife, Kevin, she's got it figured out. Why don't you have it figured out? You got to do better than this, Kevin. You got to get on with it. You got to make a difference here. You got to do better than you're doing. I'd do nothing but just heap burden on top of Kevin. Just do more, Kevin. Just do better, Kevin. You ought not to be that way, Kevin. Oh, shame, sorrow would have put all that on him. And Kevin would be in the same place because he just overcome with all the stuff and he's holding on real tight. Now, you know, religion, without what we're talking about here with Paul, dying to self, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I've learned the secret of contentment is not our doing better, it's our doing less. It's our surrender to the Lord. Now, what's got to happen in Kevin is he's got to turn loose of the stuff and take a hold of Christ. That's the secret. That's the secret. You know, the charge to be generous is a burdening charge without Christ. The challenge to be generous is a burdening challenge without Christ. And so when we talk about live the gospel out, live generously, we're not talking about doing more. We're not talking about doing better. We're not talking about giving more of yourself. We're not talking about giving more of your space or just doing more and reaching down deep within yourself and grabbing more of you and putting that out there for the blessing of other people. No, we're saying do less for Him and just simply take what you have and offer it as an offering that's pleasing to the Lord. Surrendered. Worshipful. Less. All. Not pushing yourself forward, but just surrendering yourself to Him. Because that's when it's beautiful, and that's what the Lord wants. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 and 19. This would be very difficult on Kevin without Christ, without the idea of what it means to surrender, without the idea of what it means to learn to be content in whatever situation you find yourself in, to turn loose of all the stuff and grab a hold of Christ and just by faith trusted Him, surrendered heart and life to Him, a yielded heart to Him. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. The rich in this present age is probably most of us, obviously, or all of us, by comparison to the world. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Haughty is you think you're better than other people. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Kevin, you're holding on way too tight to all your stuff. You've done well, my friend. You have blessings. Don't hold on tight to it. Don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches because it's uncertain. But on God, because God is certain. God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. I don't believe Kevin's enjoying that nice pool. I don't think Kevin's enjoying that nice living room and all that he's got there. You know he had a pretty fancy TV room somewhere, didn't he? Trying to hold on to it. Not able to really enjoy it. We are not to put our hopes in the certainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He says, Timothy, charge your people to do good. Be about the gospel. That's what that's about. To be rich in good works. To be rich in doing the things of the Lord. To be rich in coming before God's people and leading them to worship with sorrow. That's wealth. I was running through here, Philip, and I won't be able to do this for you today, buddy, but I was thinking, I didn't know if that was $1 million worship leading or $2 million. I won't write that check today. I could write one, but don't cash it. Do you see the point I'm making there? Rich in good works. I mean, when Philip started going this morning and my mind flooded, I went, how much is this worth? How much, you can't put a dollar amount on that. To be generous. Generosity is of the Lord. Generosity is from beyond ourselves. Generosity happens when we are released to Him. And we're not holding tight to the stuff. The stuff is the Lord's, and we're just that vessel, the conduit. We're the open pipe to His blessing. And ready to share. Kevin wasn't ready to share. He swallowed hard. He reached down and grabbed that pocket, that watch, didn't he? And he thought about that airplane his son gave that boy. And on his wrist is the good one. On his wrist was the wealthy watch, the best watch, the most expensive watch. On his wrist was what he's holding on to. In his pocket was just, ordinary, everyday, stinky watch. He was willing to give that watch that didn't mean anything to him, but his son gave something that meant everything to him. There's the difference. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. You see, Kevin's struggling with that. Kevin is maybe not to the crossroads, but he's on the way to the crossroads, and the Lord is bringing him to the place to realize that he's storing up for himself treasures that don't have a good foundation. And that's the symbolism of the financial advisor saying, what about some charitable giving that we, let's put that off. All right, you're the boss. All right, you see that? All right, you're the boss, he said. Kevin doesn't realize that true life, Paul says, of that which is truly life. He doesn't understand that true life is when you're investing your treasure in heaven, eternal, spiritual. That's what we can count on. I just don't want to give God any stinky sheep. Guide and lead us today, Lord, to give beyond ourselves, to give our space, to give the gift and experiences that you've blessed us with, to give our resources, to give our time, to give of ourselves, to give our best to you. Help us to learn. Help us to grow in contentment. Help us to, by faith, to be able to stand with Paul and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward.